Thank the Lord this morning for that fountain, for that river that is still flowing deep, deep within. And it's desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. Exclusive. Definitions come into your mind this morning. Someone says they are something is exclusive. It means it's restricted or limited to one. It's exclusive. When people in the world talk about having an exclusive relationship, it's where both parties have agreed to be a couple and not see anyone else. It's exclusive. We live in a very open world today. But when they say they are exclusive, now when we got married in our vows, we said forsaking all others. In other words, we made a vow when we got married that this is an exclusive relationship. No one else is going to be in the middle of that relationship. It's limited to one. And that is where long-lasting, healthy marriages are founded. It is founded in exclusivity. Limited to one. God's desire is for each one of us this morning to enter into an exclusive relationship with Him. And that is where the true joy and the true blessings of serving the Lord are found, is when you have an exclusive relationship. You find that people in the world that have lots of different relationships, there's something there that is not satisfying. There's something there that is not satisfying something inside of them. But when you enter in and give your whole heart to someone, and you're willing, when there's difficulties, you have fixed your heart that we are one and we're going to go through the tough time together, that's where the blessings come from. Because after you get through the desert, you're going to get into a valley where there's rivers and there's that joy and there's those blessings there. Well, it's the same thing with God this morning. Jesus said for a reason that no man can serve what? Two masters. It's not possible to serve God and the world. The Lord is looking for a people. He is looking for individuals this morning who will serve Him exclusively. And that's why it's worthy of our consideration in our own life this morning. Do you have an exclusive relationship with the Lord? Because we live in a time where so many people are wanting to claim the things of God. They're wanting to claim salvation, and yet part of their heart is still following after the things of the world. And Jesus said very clearly, He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't compromise it so there could be a larger following, but He was very upfront with people, and He said that you can't serve two masters. And this is the reason why when the young rich ruler came to Jesus, and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Remember what Jesus said? He said, well, keep the commandments. And he listed many of them. And the young man said, these things have I done from my youth up. And Jesus looked on and he loved him. And he said, but there's one thing that you're lacking. It seems like Jesus might have been a little bit more expedient to have a little bit larger following to just have held off on that truth. Just come on and follow me for a while. Take it and we'll see how it goes. And eventually, I have something else to say to you. We never find Christ doing that in His teaching. It hasn't changed this morning. Jesus told him, He said, if you want to have eternal life, if you want to follow me, He said, go and sell how much? Everything. Go and sell all that thou hast, and then come and follow me. The reason Jesus told him that up front was because he knew that somewhere along the line, his love for his riches was going to come in conflict with his desire to follow Jesus. He was going to have to do business with that thing in his life, either now or down the road, and Jesus was just going to tell him, this is where it's at. He wanted an exclusive relationship. You can either follow the world. I know that you want to follow me, but you've got a love for some things of the world. And Jesus let him know without doubt that you're going to have to leave those things aside to enter into an exclusive relationship with me, where our focus is singular for the things of God. I know this morning that we have life to live. Young people, children, you have school to take care of. There are jobs that have to be worked. There are lawns that have to be mowed. There are things in life that we have to take care of. But everything in our life should center around our desire to please God. And if our desires and our goals and our dreams and our plans are being motivated by the things of this life rather than our relationship with God, we will never be the people that God wants us to be. We're never going to experience the real joy and the real satisfaction in life when we have a divided heart. The Lord's looking for exclusiveness. And exclusivity is liberating. When you say, well, you know, when you get married, you're just in bondage. I mean, only one is bondage. That's what the world's saying, but I still have to look on the world and say, how is it working for them? Are they happier? Are they more satisfied? I dare say no. The joy is found in exclusivity, and it is not bondage this morning. If anyone here has heard the enemy say those words, that serving God is bondage, that's the enemy speaking. Because when you give yourself wholeheartedly, exclusively to the Lord, you do not need to be afraid of what God's going to ask of you. The Lord will give us the grace, He'll give us the strength, He'll give us the power that we can actually enjoy serving the Lord, and it brings joy to have an exclusive relationship with Jesus Christ. So with that as a foundation, what, Brother Ivan? It sets me free. There's liberty. We sing the song, don't we? Glorious freedom. Maybe it's been a while since we've sung it, but it says we do just what? What we want to, and we go where'er we please, and that is what we're doing here today. If you're here because of force or what's everybody gonna think if I don't show up on this Tuesday morning, that is bondage. And that's not real pleasant. But when you serve the Lord because you love Him, it's liberating. Exclusiveness is not bondage this morning. With that as a foundation, would you turn with me to the book of Daniel? Daniel chapter 5. I'd like us to consider a very familiar story this morning. Of Belshazzar, Daniel in the 5th chapter, we'll begin reading with the 2nd verse. Remember Belshazzar, he was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And he was having a great party. Had a lot of partying going on. And it said, Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, he commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father, or rather grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. And they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. And as they drank, it said they praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. And in that hour, and here's what I'd like us to consider for a moment here, is that the hand of God came out at that moment, the moment when they took a vessel that had been consecrated, sanctified to only be used in the worship and service of the temple. They call for those. They had been brought from Jerusalem over to Babylon. And in the midst of their idolatry, they called for those sacred vessels to be brought in, and they began to drink of them and praise the gods of gold and silver and wood. And it was at that moment, in that hour, that came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick. And that's when God placed judgment against Belshazzar. This night thy kingdom shall be divided. And it was that night that the Medes and the Persians came in and conquered the Babylonians. But when did it happen? When did the judgment of God come? These were wicked people. But it happened when they took something that was sacred. It happened when they took something that was supposed to be used exclusively for the worship of the Lord. Thank you. It was when they used that in the middle of their idolatry. Do you know that God created each and every one of us to be a vessel that was exclusive for His work? He created all of us this morning that we would be exclusively following after the kingdom of God. That we would be exclusively seeking to benefit the Lord and bring glory to who? To His name. We were not created to seek after our own welfare in our own ways and follow after our own opinions and our own ideas. The Lord created us that we would give Him glory. And when we do that is when we're going to find the best that life has to offer in Christ. When we will follow Him exclusively. But it was at this time that God's judgment came upon them. In the 22nd verse, He said, "Thou son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all of this." And Daniel was speaking to him. He said, "You've lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and have brought the vessels of His house before thee. And thee and thy lords, and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. You praise the gods of silver and of gold, and of brass and iron and wood and stone, and see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and in whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified." And so the judgment of God came down. It was meant, that vessel, and it was a lot more than a paper cup. That vessel had been sanctified. You know what it means to be sanctified? Set apart for specific use. It means purified. It means holy. In the New Testament, in the Greek, we read about that word sanctify. Sometimes that Greek word is translated as sanctify. In other times, it's translated as holy. It's the same thing. To be sanctified means to be holy or made pure, but it also means to be exclusive. It's the same throughout. So how are we living? Do you know that God has a church that is exclusive? It's made up of all those that have been washed in the blood of Jesus, those that have their heart to put His word and His truth and His will above everything else in life. And now that is a high calling. But we can do that by the grace of God. But I want us to take note of the importance of being exclusive. That was when the Lord's judgment came on Belshazzar. He lost his kingdom. There are a lot of people today who are not living an exclusive life for the Lord. I might come to service on Sunday. I might be a good person and do a lot of things that the Bible teaches, but there's some things that I'm reserving to myself. There's some things I'm just wanting to do my way. Do you realize that's not an exclusive relationship? The Lord's looking for someone. He's looking for each one of us this morning to dedicate ourselves to an exclusive relationship with Him, that, Lord, I'm here to give You glory. I don't want glory to be given to the things that I do with my hands. I don't want glory to be given to the things that we do with our brain. I don't want glory to be given to our bodies in what we do and where we go. Lord, our whole life is to be about lifting You up and bringing glory to the name of God. That is what it means to be exclusive. That is what it means to be sanctified. That's what it means to live a holy life. In every decision, in everything that we do. In the book of Numbers, in the 7th chapter, verse 1. Numbers chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "It came to pass in that day, as Moses had fully set up the tabernacle..." So here Moses had built the tabernacle, but just as a side note, where did he get the plans for that tabernacle? The Lord gave it to him, didn't He? He didn't get an architect. He didn't take a congregational vote and say, "Now, do you all want, you know what, you want blue curtains or red curtains? What color of carpet do you want?" There was no congregational vote that took place on the building of the tabernacle. God gave him the plan. "This is how I want you to build it." Do we realize today that the Lord has given us His plan for our life today? And when people start saying, and it breaks my heart, but when people say, "Well, the church teaches..." Wait, hold on a minute. Who are we talking about? If it's just something that came from man, then let's recognize it. If it's just a tradition, let's recognize it's a tradition. If it's something that people have done and had a good lifestyle, let's recognize it. But if it is "thus saith the word of God," let's recognize that too. We live our life like we do this morning because of the word of God. We're not following after cunningly devised fables of man. I don't want to build my life or establish my life this morning on what a body of ministers said somewhere, because, you know, ministers come and go, but there's something that is fixed and sure, and that is the Word of God. And when God has taught us something in the Word, that's required of us. And so He gave Moses the blueprint. He gave Moses the plan, and Moses had the tabernacle built, and they anointed it. And it said they sanctified it. And all of the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them. They took it and they said, "This is for the use of the worship of the Lord exclusively, not for anything else." We live in a world that's so contaminated. We live in a world that is so full of sin and uncleanness, and we're living in a generation that is wanting to mix the things of God with the things of the flesh. And that's not acceptable to the Lord. But the joy is, when we come into this exclusive relationship, remember, that's where the liberty's found. That's where the joy is found. That's where the satisfaction is found. Well, they set it apart, and I've used this example different times through the years, but illustrate it this way. My mother had a pair of scissors, and they were sanctified scissors. They were consecrated. They were exclusive. And if you needed to cut paper, don't touch those scissors. If you needed to have some cardboard or something you needed to clip, don't use the scissors. They were the nice scissors. They were the expensive scissors. We had a pair of scissors in the junk drawer. We did have a junk drawer. And we had one. That was it. Just one. But there was one that you opened up, and there was a pair of scissors in there that you used to cut paper. They were common scissors. But there was a sanctified set of scissors that you didn't use for anything else. And they were sanctified because they were set apart for an exclusive use, and that was to cut fabric. That was the only thing it was to be used for. That is what Moses did with the tabernacle. It's what he did with the vessels, with the cups that Belshazzar ended up defiling. They took the cups and they sanctified them and said, Lord, we dedicate this cup, this vessel to you. And it's not going to be used for anything else except in the worship of the Lord. It was sanctified. It was exclusive. And this is one of the reasons why when Jesus came into the temple and he found the money changers, they were exchanging, they were doing business, they were buying and selling. And remember, Christ was, he was indignant, he was angry, the scripture says. Because he said, you have, this was supposed to be exclusive. This, my temple, you made a place of business, but my Father's house is to be what? A house of prayer. Exclusively a house of prayer. It's not a place on Saturday, as it were, on the Sabbath, to come in and pray, and then the rest of the week you could do business. This is my Father's house. And it's sanctified, and it's dedicated, and it's consecrated, and you're defiling it. And Christ knocked over the table of the money changers because this ought not to be. There was judgment that was brought there. Solomon, when he built the temple, the anointing and power of God came down on that temple. But if you turn and read, it says this, they sanctified the house. They sanctified it. They set it apart. Do you realize that in the scripture, sanctification, and please allow me a little liberty, and if you don't understand this, study, pray. But the word sanctify is not meant exclusively to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a sanctifier. And so in kind of Church of God lingo, if you will give me that liberty this morning, people say, I'm saved and I'm sanctified. I'm thanked to the Lord that people are sanctified. Sanctification is a work of the Spirit. But to be sanctified means to be set apart. So when someone is in defilement of sin and they come and get saved and they're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, the New Testament teaches that we are sanctified by the blood. It also teaches that we are sanctified by the Word, which means if your heart is love, you love God and you're reading the Word, you hear the preached Word going forth and the Lord shows you something in your life. The Lord shows you a place in your life. He's wanting you to make a change. And you submit to that and say, yes, Lord, you are just sanctified by the Word. You made a decision to allow the Word of God to set you apart and to make holy that area of your life. Similarly, when the Lord, and we heard about this last night, when the Holy Spirit comes along and places His hand on your life, Brother Ivan, the Holy Spirit came and called you to the ministry. He sanctified you. He set you apart to a work. And may I say, if you can allow me to take Brother Ivan's analogy of last night, help wanted, part-timers need not apply. Is that fair? People sometimes want part-time work because they want to sit on the couch the rest of the time. The Lord's not looking for part-time Christians. He's not looking for people that will come and we can dress up. It's camp meeting time and we come and enjoy fellowship and enjoy the food and enjoy your friends and we can sing and we can testify. But saints, one of these days we're going to go back home, back to life. The Lord does not want this to be a camp meeting experience. He wants some people that will live an exclusive life for Him. That, Lord, I'm going to dedicate my life to you and I'm going to sacrifice full time for the cause of Christ. The Lord is looking for full time laborers in the kingdom this morning. And understand, it doesn't mean that everybody needs to get up and go quit their jobs and line up and come to service tonight and say, all right, here we are. What do we do? And we'll all start looking at one another. I say, if you're going to go to work, make it God's work. If you're going to go work in the field, say, Lord, I'm out here doing this for you. Anything that I gain from my labors, Lord, it's for the cause of Christ. Yes, we support our families, but my time and my energy and my money, it's not mine. It's the Lord's. It's exclusively God's. my car, whatever you have in your billfold, the time that we have, whose is it today? Is it ours, or are we reserving something to ourselves, or are we living a life of exclusivity for the Lord? It changes your job. It changes what you do in life, because when you do it, ever before you is Lord, I want to glorify you. I want to glorify you. It's not about, and nothing's wrong with having a retirement account, please don't misunderstand me, but that's God's too. And when there's needs and you don't have any other money, are we willing to go draw from that to advance the kingdom of God? Lord, it's all yours. It's exclusively yours, Lord. The Lord's looking for people that will be fully 100% dedicated to Him. Exclusive. In school, in elementary school, I remember, and Rodney, you may remember as well, where we ate lunch, we say that's a cafeteria. But we didn't call it a cafeteria, it was called a multipurpose room. Because it was a meeting room, it was a place that people would have the younger children go and have PE in that room. It was a multipurpose room. You realize today that when we are sanctified and set apart and consecrated, it is exclusive for one thing. The Lord does not want us to be a multipurpose people. He wants our purpose to be singular for the things of God. And with that, then we have life to live. There's fields to plant, and there's dishes to wash, and lawns to mow, and jobs to do, and children, young people, yes, there's school to go to. But when you do it, what is the purpose? Lord, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to give it to me because I want you to be glorified, and I want to use everything I learned to the glory of God. Well, if I can just be rich, I just want to get rich. That's not exclusive, is it? That's saying my heart's after the things of the world, and the Lord is calling and He's yearning for there to be a greater commitment, sanctified to the work of God and for living for God, not a multipurpose room. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God. Say, Lord, I'm seeking your will. Here it is. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. What does that mean? Holy, pure, set apart, exclusive. That's the will of God. Are we fulfilling the will of God this morning? As we examine our lives, and you know, there are times in all of our lives, for those that are saved and have the Holy Spirit, there are times, thank the Lord, in His love and mercy, He comes along and points things out in our life and says, your heart or your mind, your time, it's straying a little bit too far over here. I want you to bring it back in. And when you love the Lord, you say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I need to make some adjustments here in my life because I want to be exclusive for you, Lord. There's something in my life that I enjoy doing. It's not wrong. It's not sin. But through the years, the Lord has kept a check on it. And sometimes He said, just take your hands completely off. And other times I can enjoy something a little bit. But sometimes when it starts occupying too much mental energy, the Lord comes along and said, okay, back off here a little bit. And it's because He wants me to be exclusive. That's for all of us this morning. We need to listen to the checks of the Spirit. We need to listen when He tells us, be careful here. When we start deviating a little bit and maybe bringing some things in our life, I want us to remember the Lord, just like those vessels, the Lord wants a sanctified vessel. He wants it consecrated. I don't have any stones to throw at people that work, but you know, I believe there is not as much said anymore about full-time ministry in the gospel work. Do you know there is something when you can attend to the things, to the cause of Christ above everything else? There's a place the Lord still has a call for that. And we live in a time people think, how can that be done? The Lord takes care of His own. When you have people that are being exclusive in their life in every area, it's going to take care of itself. It's going to take care of itself when everything we do is to advance the cause of Christ. This is the will of God. And then in verse 4, he said this, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. How are we possessing our vessels? Are we exclusive? Have we been set apart? And there are times and places of commitment. We heard that last night. This dovetails with the message last night that Brother Ivan brought us. There are times of consecration. There are times that we need to come back to the Lord when He calls us and say, Lord, I dedicate myself to you and to this thing that's in my life. I dedicate that to you. But the scripture talks about being sanctified wholly, not partially, but in soul, in mind, in body, in spirit, that we be sanctified wholly, exclusively, not holding anything back. As we examine our lives and our hearts this morning, can we say that we've opened up our hearts and everything, that it's all God's? Or are there certain things that we've reserved to ourselves, and we start getting a little uncomfortable when someone gets on that certain subject because I know I'm not there. The Lord doesn't want us to feel guilty this morning, but He wants us to hear the call. He wants us to know He's asking for a consecrated people, a sanctified people, a people who are exclusive to Him. And that's where the blessings of God are, and that's where the glory of God is going to be found. It means that the decisions that we make, you know, when we have decisions to make, we look at pros and cons, don't we? Should we do this? And kind of whether you write it down or in your head mentally, it's like, what are the pros and cons of this? Do you know the Lord wants all of our decisions to revolve around an exclusive purpose? That, Lord, I want to please you. Who you're going to marry? Well, I want, but Lord, if it's not going to be good for me spiritually, what is God's will? What's God's will? Is His will? What is His will in my life for where I'm going to live? Where we're going to move? Lord, I want to please you. I want you to be glorified in my life. I want to live somewhere where I can be in fellowship. I want to live somewhere where I can work for you, Lord, in whatever capacity that is. Lord, I want my decisions to revolve around you, not what I like and not my preferences. If we all lived where our preferences were, I can say this, I would not have left the Northwest to live in a state that's really hot in the summers. I don't like that. But it's not about what I like. That's not what it's about. It's about I'm here because this is where the Lord wants me. That's the Lord wants that to be all of our testimony, that we are where we are because that's where God wants us. And so when we make decisions and choices, even job choices, is it always a higher paying job that we should take? No, do you know sometimes a higher paying job, and sometimes it might be the lower paying job, will put us in situations that we will not be able to glorify God like He wants to. And so then we're not taking our jobs based upon how much it makes all the time. It's, Lord, I want to please you. I want to be here. I want to be present, Brother Ivan. I want to be here, Brother Rod. I want to be here to worship. And I want to be in a place that I can be a meaningful contribution to the body of saints. And so then, if it makes a difference in the job that I take, are we exclusive for the things of God, or are we allowing the things of the world to dictate our choices? And the Lord wants us to be that sanctified vessel that, Lord, this is for your glory. This is for your cause. We had, and that means it's not just a service here. It's not just church life. This is who we are to be all the time. We were in another country, and a number of children came up to my daughter and they said, tell us how you dress when you're at home. I said, well, this is how I dress, like I'm dressed right now. No. They didn't believe her. And they kept pushing, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because they'd seen pictures of America. They'd seen how Americans dress. And she told me, she said, yes, this is how we dress all the time. Do you realize that our lives aren't just what we do here in service, talking about praising the Lord. The best praise services I've had, I was outside by myself in my office because I didn't have to worry about what y'all thought about me out there. You know what I mean? I just praise the Lord just without any inhibition. And the Lord wants us to do that. But I'm making a point here. The Lord, the way that we live our life, the way that we live our life should not be any different at home than it is at service. This is exclusive for the Lord. So you say, well, how do you dress at home? I'll tell you what, I dress just like this. Now, I might not have a coat on. I might. You might see me in my paint clothes, but I'll tell you what's going to be common. I want to dress just as modestly. Whether I'm at home, if you catch me on vacation when no saints are around, it's like, ooh, nobody's going to see me. Can do what I want. Do you realize that we're one? That's what holiness is about. It's not about who's watching. It's not about who's looking. And it's not about who knows. It's about a relationship that I have with God, that, Lord, I want to please you with what I listen to, with what I look at, with where I go. And, Lord, I want it to be sanctified. Yes. Parents, when you go up to your children, they've got those newfangled earbuds in. Now the Bluetooth ones, you know, you don't even have the cord to pull on. You go pull it out and listen to it. Is it exclusive for God? Do you know that that's where our lives and everything that we do should be exclusive for the Lord? Lord, whatever I do, this is for you. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of. I lost my phone the other day at a funeral. Fell out of my pocket. And so we called it and someone found it laying on the ground. And I'll tell you, I know that most of our phones lock. But I thought, you know what? It's good to live your life so you don't need to be ashamed. If you lose your phone and it's unlocked, and someone goes through your history, what have they been looking at? It's exclusive. Do you know that years ago, I know there was a standard and the saints didn't, as a general practice, did not have television in their home. What do you have in your pocket this morning? That's right. My phone's over there on that my bench. I pull it out and show y'all. I have one. I'm not sure how smart it is sometimes. It's caused more damage. It's caused more damage to people than the television ever did. So where's it? Where are we going to make a rule? Do we make a law? Are we going to make a regulation in the church? Is that going to be the answer? That's not the answer. I'll tell you what the answer is. It's in consecrating and sacrificing and sanctifying it to the Lord. Lord, this is yours. This is consecrated to your glory in everything I do, everything I look at, everything I listen to. Lord, it's exclusive. It's for you. And if we can't do that, there's a place to come and say, Lord, I consecrate this to you. Lord, I want this to be holy, my heart to be holy before you, that everything in my life is to the glory of God, because holiness does not come about by adhering to a set of rules and regulations. It does not. We don't find holiness by coming up and measuring to what a minister's meeting said. Holiness comes from the heart. Holiness comes from the heart, and it comes when we humble our heart to the Lord and say, Lord, my heart is yours. And so then when we bring up these hot button issues, and we could bring them up, right? We could make a list. You know, what about this and what about that? Well, didn't the saints used to say this and what about that? And this brother's doing this and this one's not. Where are we going to end up? Tell you where we're going to end up that's going to bring power. It's when we sacrifice, consecrate and sanctify our lives to the Lord and see what the Word says. Even if I don't feel like it, Lord, I'm yours. And that means that if I see Brother Marty doing something and I'm doing it too, and it's like, well, Brother Marty's doing it, and the Lord comes along and says, Michael, you need to, I want you to lay that down. It's not about what anybody else is doing. The Lord's wanting to get me to heaven. And He knows my weaknesses. He knows my propensities. And so there are times that He wants me to back away from things that it might be all right for you. But I'll say for all of us, it's always going to have that stamp of exclusive to the Lord. Sanctified, pure. May the Lord bless us. We'll be done shortly here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in the 20th verse. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in the 20th verse. It said, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. That's what he's talking about, being exclusive. Purge yourself. You know, there is an operation of the blood of Jesus this morning. And there is an operation of the Word. And there is an operation of the Holy Spirit. But there is also an operation that only we can do. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Purify yourselves. He said here that he that purges himself from these, from what? From the influences of the world. From the influences and the things that are not like Christ. Purge yourself from these that we could be sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Our hopes, our plans, our dreams, our purposes, everything that is in our life this morning, the Lord is wanting us to be exclusive for Him. And if there are things that maybe you don't understand and things that you might struggle with, well, what am I supposed to do here? And you get different opinions depending on who you ask. May I encourage you to begin to just seek God and say, Lord, I want to be exclusive for you. And you can trust that the Holy Spirit will be faithful to lead you. We are at different places in our walk with God this morning. We're all at different places, but the Lord will lead us that we can be sanctified and exclusive and meet for the Master's use as we purge ourselves from those things that are unlike Him as He reveals those things to us in the Lord. So in closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? He said, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? Which are God's. That's what the Lord's looking for this morning. That, Lord, I'm yours. And I want everything that flows out of my life, I want it to be exclusive. That I can glorify you in my body, in the what things I do, the places I go, the things I look at. I don't need the preacher to come with a baseball bat to my home and line me out, because it's not going to change my heart anyway. That's where bondage comes from, folks. But there's liberty when I humble my heart and I say, Lord, I'm yours. What are you pleased with? Lord, what do you want me to do in accordance with the Word of God? And that I could glorify you in my body and in my spirit, in my attitudes, in my words, in my perspectives of people and issues. That, Lord, I want to glorify you because I'm exclusively yours. May the Lord bless each one of you. He wants us to be a sacred dwelling place, a temple, a vessel that has been set apart and sanctified. If the Lord is calling on you this morning, there's a place He wants us to sanctify, to purify, to purge, to dedicate, to say, Lord, I want to be exclusive. And the Lord will give us that divine enablement to follow through on those purposes as we humble our heart to Him. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name.